Today's shir in Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Zayin Omud Beis. We're in the second volume of Mishnah Berurah. Mitzvah Hashem, we will finally finish Seif Ches in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, which deals with what you're allowed to do with a shul in terms of selling a shul under very, very different circumstances. And we conclude with the Ramah, who says, Kol Dovah Shebikdusha, any item that has Kedusha to it, not only a shul, but any item that is owned and has Kedusha to it, Shenimkar, but the community does have the right to sell it. We'll explain this more when we get to the Mishnah Berurah, who will give us a background from the Rashba for this whole discussion. So in a minute we'll make it a little bit more clearer. But now we'll just read the words of the Ramah. Kol dovah shebikdusha, shenimkar, umutul shenoso, anything which the community has the right to go and sell. So we're talking here about a shul or other items of Kedusha. So these types of items, nimkar below hachrodza, are allowed to be sold without making a public declaration that the item is to be sold in the hopes that you'll get a higher price for it. The ain bo onoh, and we're talking here about types of property, such as karka, land, that don't have the dinim of onoh, of cheating associated with them, which we'll also explain in a few moments. However, the Ramah says, avodava she'osu l'shenoso l'kedusha kala. However, something which the community does not have the right to sell for whatever purpose they want, i.e. for a whole purpose, a secular purpose, or for a lower level Kedusha purpose. So in this situation, when they are selling it, the Zayin Tuvi Ya'ir, B'mayimah Ya'ir, when they do have the right to go and sell it under certain circumstances, Sarech Hachroza, then they do have to make a public announcement in the hope of getting a larger amount of money for the item. And this is brought down, the Ramah says, in the name of the Rashba. So if we look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Sif Katan Mem Dalet, he brings down what the background is from the Rashba. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Pirush, this is all based upon a Rashba, who says as follows. A person donated a house, and the rental from that house would be benefiting the aniyim. They would get to eat the peros from that house. In other words, they would eat the rental would be given to them as staka. And the community does not have the right to do with that house whatever they want. However, for whatever the reason, later on it becomes necessary for the community to go and sell that house. And they'll purchase with the money that they get from the rent, the sale of that house, they'll go buy something else. And they'll use whatever they're buying, the profits from that item, let's say it's a new house that they're going to buy, and they'll take the rental that they get from the new house and give it to the aniyim. So the aniyim overall are not going to do worse on this, they're just the initial house that was given to the community for the purpose of renting it out and the money to be going to the aniyim, that ultimately will not have changed, but the actual item itself will have changed. So the Rashba writes, because of Rashba, in this situation, before they sell this house, they must make public announcement that this house is for sale. Since the person who originally donated said that they shouldn't go and sell it, so the tzibur certainly can't give away this house to anybody that they want. They can't say, well, we own the house now, and we can do with it whatever we want. And therefore, the Rashba says, they're not allowed to go sell this house unless they make a public announcement about it, because as long as they don't publicly announce that a sale is going on, they just make a private sale, that essentially is selling the house, the land, for less than its optimal value. Because if they were to make public announcements about it, somebody would say, hey, I would love that property. Oh, this guy's paying $5,000 for it. I'll pay $6,000 for it. And therefore, by not making a public announcement, they're essentially giving it away for a lesser amount than they could have gotten it. Umali nostum kulav matana, umali mosle bimiktsosa. And what difference does it make? They're not allowed to give it away entirely as a matana, or they're not allowed to give away a small percentage of it as a matana because they're selling it for a lower price than they could have gotten. And therefore, the Rashba says, you're not allowed to do this. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Ad kan devar. This is the source of this din in the Ramah from the Rashba. These are the end of his words. And now the Mishnah Berurah says, V'atar neforish divrei Ramah. Now we can better understand the words of the Ramah with this background from the Rashba. When the Ramah wrote, Kol davar v'chule. When the Ramah wrote, Kol davar shebikdusha, shenimkar umutu l'shanoso, haynu sh'amokrim yeshlem rishus belov hachilasos bedavar nimkar mash yirtzu. What he's in essence is saying is over here that the community had been given the right, essentially, the reshus, without publicly announcing it, to go do with it whatever they want. It wasn't given under any sort of a restriction. And in this situation, lo boach roza, they don't have to make a public declaration if they don't want to. The lo yeh bishvul minyas hach roza, because even though it would maybe sell for a little bit more, if they were to make a public hachraz, a public announcement that this is for sale, we don't really care. Nami lo ichpatlon, it doesn't bother us. Demi gara miim nasu b'aton liyachod, because technically, wanted to, they could give it away for free to somebody. So therefore, even though they could maybe get $6,000 if they were to sell it with a public announcement, right now they're only getting $5,000. They're happy with the $5,000 without the hassle, without anything else going on. And for whatever the reason, they're giving it to this person for $5,000. If that's what the community wants to do, they're permitted to do so. That's the first part over here, which is talking about something that they had the right, shenimka or mutu l'shanosu, that they had the right to sell and do with it whatever they want. However, Sivkot and Memhei, the Mishnah Berurah writes, we're talking about something that ain't bo anor. What does that mean? Ma'ir b'mechiras karku botim. We're talking here about selling a house or selling land. Umishum she'ein onor l'karkos, and he's telling us that this din is applicable for a house or for land, because when it states that it's talking about something that doesn't have onor, ain't bo anor, that's what it's referring to, land or houses which do not have the din of cheating associated with them, which we'll explain in a moment. And we don't say that these people are like a shaliach that makes a sale. We don't say this is like a shliach who goes, and when he sells something at wrong price, the sale is automatically null and void, because the person who sent the shliach could say to him, I sent you to my benefit, and not to my detriment. However, in this situation, here we say, no, the shlichim over here, they're acting as if it was their own. They're acting as part of the community. They're part of the community themselves. And therefore, in this situation, we don't say that the sale is null and void, but we say that they're allowed to go and sell this if they had permission to do so, even to give it away for free or to sell it without a hachrosa. However, in regards to selling movable property, in that, the Ramah is not talking about, because there is the din of onor, of cheating in this regard. Now, what is this din of onor? So the Gemara tells us that there is a rule that if you sell certain items for more than a sixth of their value or less of a sixth of the value, depending on which side is being, quote, cheated over here, so then the person who was cheated has the right to say, I want my money back and the sale should be null and void. If it's less than a sixth of a mistake, the mistake was only a slight mistake, so then he's not entitled to say the deal is null and void. If it's exactly a sixth, so then he's entitled to get back his money, but the sale is still a valid sale, it's not null and void. So that's in a nutshell, very, very, very quickly, the view of onor. But this dinim of onor, that the sale goes back, or that the money is returned under certain situations, that only applies to movable property. There is this concept that by karka, there is no evaluation, so to say, that can be accurate. Everybody would always like to have karka, and therefore, even if you overpaid for it, then one can't say that they were cheated. And Dirshu footnote number 61, he brings down, there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch as to whether there is no din at all of onah over here in regards to karka, or that there is still a isser in doing this, it's just that the sale can't be returned. He brings down the name of Sma in Choshen Mishpat, in the name of the Marshal, Sha'ovrim Af B'Karkos, that this isser applies to Karkos. Well, you're not allowed to cheat. However, V'lo Nismatu, it's only excluded from the Onah, Elami Toras Onah U'Bitul Mekach, only in regards to the fact that you can't demand that the sale be null and void. He brings down from Akiva Eger, who brings there that the Ramban and the Chinuch also hold like this. However, Kosa B'Shema Mishnah L'Melech, he says that the Mishnah L'Melech disagrees in the name of Tosfos, Shegam Isser Onah, that this entire Isser doesn't apply. And maybe one shouldn't do this, but certainly there is no Isser involved according to this opinion. He likewise brings down another opinion that says that there may be a difference in the amount of the cheating that would determine that there is something by karka. Whereas we said already, the din is a sixth by metaltalin. He says if you have a cheating of 50% or more in regards to karka, he brings down from the Machzis HaShekel in the name of the Ramah, then in this situation there would be onor and the mekach would be botel. And he says, so certainly, b'karka shel kedusha hadin kein. The same thing would apply in regards to a holy land that was a shul, etc. In any event, that's the first part of the Ramah. We look at it now as an overview. The Ramah says, in a situation where you are allowed to sell it, and we're talking here about karka, which doesn't have the dinim of onor, in whatever way it doesn't have the dinim of onor, so therefore, they're allowed to sell it or give it away without a public hachrosim. However, Sivkot and Memvav, the Mishnah Berurah says, avodava she'osa l'shanoso. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kach tzorich lomar, in regards to something that we said above, Ahainu kidel b'shem Rashba, she tzorich achrozo kidei sholo yimocher b'zo, that you do have an obligation to go and publicly announce it, so you shouldn't give it away for a lesser amount. Are you not allowed to give this thing away, so you're not allowed to give it away even in part, by selling it for a lower price, but you have to get the maximum price that you can. And obviously, we're talking here about something which does have onor, and here he says, even if it applies to karka as well, so since there is a specific restriction on how you're allowed to sell it, so this would apply even to karka. So, Sivkot Mem Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah says, Tzorech Achra, in this situation, Dafka Bekarka, you do have to make a public declaration. We, as a community, I want to sell this house, and we're letting everybody know that it will be sold on such and such a date. We're taking the best offer. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, Avo b'mechiras metaltlin ein tzorech achroza. But by metaltlin, you don't make a public announcement. Kideisa b'choshen mishpat simen kuvtes. As is already pointed out, in the halachos of choshen mishpat simen kuvtes, as brought down by the Taz, and if you look in Dershu footnote number 62, he reminds us what that din is, and he says, Sheyesh chashash shema yignivu hametaltlin kishayosu hakonim lerosam kidei liknosam. With karka, nobody's going to steal the karka, so therefore there's no problem if everybody knows it's for sale and they come and look around it. But if you have some item that you're selling that's metaltlin and somebody could walk away with it when nobody's looking, so therefore we don't want to necessarily have a big public gathering around everybody coming and seeing what the item is, because somebody could steal it very easily. Now we go to Siv Ches. The Mechaber writes, Banu Bayis Stam V'Yikdishu Achakach LeBeis HaKnesses. The community buys a house, and subsequently afterwards, they decide to make it into a shul. Originally, it wasn't bought as a shul, it was just bought as a house. Nevertheless, Dino KeBeis HaKnesses. It has the status of a Beis HaKnesses. We'll explain this momentarily. Abol Ein Eino Kadosh Achi Yispalbo. However, it doesn't get the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses until it's actually davened in. Afilu in Bino L'shem Beis HaKnesses. And this would be true even if you built it for Beis HaKnesses, because of the principle of Hazmona Lav Milsa. By designating something, it doesn't yet get the Kedusha, only by using it for that item, as we'll explain in the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, even if you built it for the purpose of a shul but hasn't been used as a shul, or if you built it for some other purpose and now you're turning it into a shul, until it's davened in as a shul, it doesn't yet have the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. The kivon shespalabo afilu orchem lefishah kivon shoyam yuchal letvila kadosh. It becomes holy once you have people over there who are davening in the shul, even on a temporary basis. So now it has the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. So we did a big chunk over here of the mechaber. Now let's see the Mishnah Berurah inside Sivkot Memches. Chofetz Chaim writes, Rotze Lomar, he's meaning to tell us over here, Afo gav demitchilo nishtam shubol hejot. Even though this house was originally purchased and used as a house and wasn't used for holy purposes, mikomokum nasis kebeis haknesis lechomile. Once you designate it now to be the shul and you daven in it, so now it has the status of a shul in regards to all the halachas of a shul. And there is no problem in doing this lechatchila, purchasing a house that was used as a house by people living there and then turning it into a shtibel, turning it into a shul. He says, look in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, Sif Chof Aleph, which we'll learn in a couple of days, as well as we've already learned in Simon Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Aleph, in the Ramah over there. V'hosom Inyan Kedusha. He says, the difference between there and here is one is a Tashmishe Kedusha and one is a Tashmishe Mitzvah, which we'll explain in a second. V'hocho Beis HaKnesses Tashmishe Mitzvah. The difference between Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha we've discussed many times already. Something that services a holy item itself, as opposed to something that's a mitzvah or an aid to do a mitzvah, there's a difference in what you can do with them. As we've already learned, Kamosha Kosu Aposkin. You can see this a little bit more clearly in Dershu footnote number 63. He writes, than the other places that the Mishnah Berurah just pointed out, we explained over there, She'en liknos me'ilim le'sefer Torah, midorish nishtamish bohedru. You shouldn't buy the mantle for a Sefer Torah from something that was used like as a coat, for example, or to buy some sort of a cloth that we put the Sefer Torah on to use an item that had been used already for a hedgeot purpose, a secular purpose. So he says, Madua mutulasos Beis HaKnesses mi bayish nishtam shubot chilul hedgeot. So how come the house was used for a secular purpose and now you're making it into a shul? Why is that okay as opposed to taking this cloth that was used for a secular purpose and now using it for the mappa, for the shulchan? So he explains the difference is Tashmishe Kedusha have a more din of a chumrah to them than a Beis HaKnesses, which is Tashmish of a mitzvah, something that's used to support a item itself, like tefillin, that are an actual item of Kedusha. So the fillin' bag has a different halacha than the talis bag, which is supporting a garment that has four corners on it, and therefore we put tzitzis on it, but the garment itself doesn't have intrinsic kedusha, as opposed to the tefillin, which have intrinsic kedusha. Sivkot Mem Tes, Mr. Brewer writes, it doesn't have kedusha yet because of the principle, the kaimalon has monolav milsi, just designating something to be utilized for a mitzvah or for kedusha doesn't yet make it kadosh or mutal l'shanos habayis l'chol. And then you can change your mind, even though you said, let's buy this as a shul, then we say, no, it would be better actually as a social hall, so they're allowed to do that. He says, look in the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Ches, the Mayri Hocha Shibeno HaKol Mimos Chulin Shiesh Lohem. He says, we've already learned and discussed this, that this is talking about where the funds were taken from non-consecrated funds. They were just purchased from funds that were donated to the shul. Avol kishigavu amosu tzorah beis haknesses. But if the funds were specifically collected for a shul, then also l'shanos habayis lorida mikdushasu l'chol. Then you're not allowed to go and take this house and now use it for secular purposes because the funds that you use were designated for a shul. However, even though you can't sell it for something else, it still yet does not have the kedusha of a beis haknesses, even when the funds were used to purchase the beis haknesses. Raksha also l'shanos. So the only difference is you're not allowed to change it, but it still doesn't yet have the halachic status of a shul until it's davened in. And he says, look in the bir halacha, which brings down the das of the taz, the filu begavu amosu tzoruch beis haknesses gamkein ein ha isur l'shanos. He says, the opinion of the Taz, it says even if you used funds for the purposes of a shul, you're still allowed to change it. However, at the end, he ultimately has to go buy a shul with those funds or some other funds to be mekayim the neder, so to say, the vow that they said when they collected the funds that they would use it for a shul. Mishnah Berurah continues and says, V'yochet shebonah ba'is ha'knesses, an individual who built a shul, av shedayin lo hispala bo, even though he hasn't yet davened in it, ve'ein lo kedushas beis ha'knesses, while it doesn't yet have the status, therefore, of a shul from a holiness point of view, mekomokom ein yochel lachzbo, since he'd said, I'm giving it to the shul, that he can't go back on. Tahave kilo nor that stuck around, because this is similar to a person who's donating something to the public, he can't go back on it. Because that's making an edit. Abul also mitpachas the Sefer Torah shalom. But if a person made a mantle for his own Sefer Torah, sheyesh lo beveh, so he happens to have in his house, and korban rabim, it's not used publicly, so it's his own personal Sefer Torah. Koshalo nishtamish bo the Sefer Torah yochel lachzbo. If he hasn't yet used it, so then this is hasmona lav milsehi, so he's allowed to go back on it. Umashma the lo heavy neder klaladaito, and this isn't called a neder over here. He says, look in the Prima Gadim, who brings down from the El Yerabba, the din zelo nihira, disagrees with his din, and the issue for the number 66 brings down, gam sha'omer shiyase ezo mitzvah, harez a neder, because if a person says he's going to do something, that is a neder. So we're not sure over here why this wouldn't apply it too. He says, look in the Sharet Zion, sif katan memches, who tries to be miyashin this. Mishnah Berurah sif katan nun, he writes, afilu in bino v'chulei. Even though it was built for a basic knesset, but hasn't yet been davened in. The avshoy ha'maisa gam kein, even though they actually did a mice over here, lo mikri raka is mona bi'amot, it's still called only designating it as a shul, and not called a shul yet. Sivkot nun ala, kivin shoy ha'miyuchod, once they started davening in it, wrote to Lomar, ha'azmona hoys ha'azmona ma'ula, this is now a designation that actually worked. Shehizmin oso li'olam l'spalabo, you invited people to come and daven there. U'kamad yisalel b'sim membeis, as we've already learned. Dehechod di'azmona l'sudo li'olam l'meitzar bei tefillin, if a person designated something to put his tefillin into, v'tzar bei afilu pa'mechon, and use this tefillin bag even one time for the tefillin, shuv also l'meitzar bei zuzi, you can't use it for something else. You can't put money in there. U'lafuke, as opposed to hizmin oso l'beis tefillin, if you designated something as a shul to daven in, but only rak lefishua, only for a temporary period of time. Dainu achi yavar regular yirid, until, for example, if only needed an extension for the shlosh regalim, for the yom tovim, or was the market season for this group of people, so they're going away for a conference, and they needed to designate a room as a shul for that period of time. That's the custom that people would gather together there. Lo chashivas monoklav, that's not called designating it for a shul. Umutra afilu beis regular lechov lishlosbo, and even during the time that they're using it as a shul, they still can use it for other purposes as well. The issue footnote number 68 says you still can't use it for kalus rosh, and certainly not for inappropriate things while it's being used as a shul. And then he brings down the Bach, who says he doesn't understand this. He says you're only allowed to use it for those things after it's no longer going to be used as a shul, but while it's being used as a shul, you can't use it for eating and drinking even. Just finish off the Mechaber of Sivches, v'im lefi shohik d'yishu, if they temporarily designated for a shul, hakol kvi masham, if they had made it tonight, then whatever they said is what it is, that's what it is. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Beis explains, hainu sh'omer stam, they said stam, ani mazmin oso l'regolim, we're using the shul only for the yomim tovim. D'mashma lo shom b'chol eishi a regal, for whenever there is a regal, whenever there's a holiday, we're using this as a shul. Akin chashuva azmona olomis, so this is a designation for all time, al kaponim al osu azman, only for that period of time. The also bizazman, and it's only forbidden to use it for anything else during that period of time. Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, however, from the Beis Yosef in the name of the Mordechai, Ustan Hazmonali for sure, this temporary type of a Kedusha. So the Beis Yosef in the name of the Mordechai writes, the Lo Chashiv Hazmonakal, he doesn't consider that anything of a designation, Ukamosha Kosavnu Mitrila, as we have already said above. Olinia Tanai, if they made a Tanai on this, so then we've already learned these dinim in Simon Kufnun Aleph, Sifir Aleph, in Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Shom. The issue foot number 70 brings down the name of the Morgan Avram, that Shetnai L'Shtamish Bo B'Yeshuvo, that while it's in existence, the Tanai does work for Tashmishim She'en Behem Kalus Rosh, not for things that are lightheaded. However, not for eating and drinking, and certainly not for anything that is Chok, V'Hisul, V'Sichu, B'Teilus, so really inappropriate things. He brings down further details as well about this halach to remind us, Ayin Sham. This concludes today's shir.